Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and it's one of my favorite times of the month. This is our tie special, and we've got two great people joining us in the studio. We have Dave Walters, product evangelist with Silver Pop. And if you haven't heard of Silver Pop, I don't know really where you've been. And we also have Jen Bonet. She's the chief chick with Startup Chick. She's also with Community Catalyst, and she's an ATDC mentor, and she's with Flashpoint as well. Well, guys, welcome to the show.
Great.
Great. Thanks to be here.
Well, thanks so much for coming on for our Tie special. And you guys both participated in TieCon, correct?
We did.
So yes. Can you just tell me a little bit about what you guys did with TieCon, and for any of our listeners out there that weren't there, we were broadcasting live, what TieCon really is and about Tie?
Sure. I was particularly involved with the Angel Pitch competition. Myself and four other very illustrious judges got to listen to, I think it was seven pitches from folks that are in the angel stage, and judge them on a set of five criteria around, go-to-market, technology, the team, how big is the market, things like that, and then make a decision as to who is the strongest team for investment.
So I only got to see two of those, and I saw the last two, but who did you decide? I thought U-Root did.
Yes.
Did a pretty good job.
U-Root was great. I thought they were very great. I was also very impressed with, I'm not going to be able to remember the name. It's a biotech company.
The one with the tech with the...
It's out of North Carolina. It was a female pitched it, so a startup chick pitched it. In fact, I reached out to her on behalf of Startup Chicks to see if we can't do something to help her. But she has... she's going to solve kind of mosquito-borne diseases.
Wow.
Like Lyme and things like that. And she's got it actually pretty well. It's going into testing right now, so it's pretty far along down the track. So it was very impressive. I really liked her and that idea. So I always have to pick a startup chick as a favorite. Sorry.
All right, perfect. Dave, what did you do over in TieCon?
So I was involved in the up-and-coming entrepreneur.
Okay.
Award thing. So, it was really interesting. So we talked about I guess 9 or 10 finalists, and it was actually a really good debate. So we first had to debate what the kind of genus of a startup entrepreneur was, right? Because there were people from, kind of second phase people in who had taken over a company and were running it and was showing great growth, and we said, hey, is this what's the definition of a founder kind of thing? So we sat in the Verima offices one afternoon and debated the meaning of life and startups and entrepreneurs. And we hashed through it all. It was actually, as it turns out, a really kind of difficult decision, right? There's a lot of traction right now. There's a lot of traction going on, in the Tech Village. There's a lot of traction going on in all kinds of other places. So, we looked at... guys, and I think eventually Kyle Porter was the winner. Hard not to kind of look at Kyle and see that, they've done some really good things with business, but also what they've done, 300 or 400 people once a month, just kind of with their eyes wide open. So they're kind of been right at the tip of that spear. It's interesting to watch.
Well, Kyle's
their
been
flavor.
He's doing everything. I mean, he's in Atlanta Tech Village. He's all over the place. He's the next generation right there. So
yeah, it's interesting. I've known Kyle for probably 5 years, I guess, when he was, I think I knew Kyle when he was in Nanolumens.
Yeah.
As he was starting to kind of
pick up some
gel
steam.
Together what Sales Loft could become. And it's been good to watch him kind of grow that and, like any good startup, move through some tough times and emerge on the other side strong and going at it. So.
Well, definitely. All right. Well, before we get back into TieCon, I want to just talk about you guys' backgrounds a little bit. Jen, for people who don't know you, which isn't many here in the Atlanta area, talk a little bit about Startup Chicks. It's such a huge program. What you guys are doing for the women out there is we love it.
Sure. Thank you. So about almost 6 years ago now, I started an organization called Startup Chicks. It is a 501c3. We are focused on empowering women entrepreneurs through education, community coaching, connections, hopefully eventually investment. And we started in Atlanta. We're currently in five cities. We're in Atlanta, New York, Seattle, Sarasota, and Savannah, Georgia. And we're sort of testing that model to see what it takes to go into new cities and what it takes to go into cities of different sizes and what works in those places. We're having some successes and some failures as we well, test. It is a startup in itself, right? New York and Seattle are very strong, but they have large tech communities, strong startup communities, much like Atlanta does, whereas Savannah and Sarasota are struggling a little bit because they don't have that support system of a community. You know, for me, it's quite frankly, it's a mission to try and get more women to grow scalable businesses, right? 85% of all women-owned businesses as of 2013, according to an American Express study, actually have zero employees. That means the founder is the only business. Wow. And it's closer to like 92% never break $1 million in revenue.
That's crazy.
So how do we change the ratio on those two things and have women grow larger businesses? The key to me is I don't think it's any harder to grow a scalable business than a lifestyle business, quite frankly, right? So it's kind of a mind shift that we have to help them make and go through to start thinking about it differently. How can I systemize this? What can I outsource? How can I bring on a team to support me in this so that we can grow faster so that it's, quite frankly, easier for all if you have money and resources, right? And so we have monthly events in every city. We have that are educational based. We have quarterly networking events. We're about to launch what I'm calling circles, which are going to be mastermind groups. And that will allow us to hit the various areas of specifically, we're going to start in Atlanta. So for women that can't make it to Midtown on the third Wednesday of the month for our meeting in the evening, they'll now be able to start their own little startup check mastermind in Alpharetta or Cobb County wherever they wish. Right. And then we do an accelerator program, which is a kind of 12-week intensive education part.
So from ideation to?
Yeah, ideation to launch. It's about 4 hours a week, and we're not teaching it in person this year because we're in the process of converting it to being an online course so that we can take it to all the cities.
That's huge right there.
So it's been a big project. I'm hoping that we're done with it and can kind of launch it in September is my plan.
Well, definitely. Are you guys doing anything with the customer discovery part of it too?
Talk about customer discovery in the process, and then there's some workshops about that. I don't know that there's a huge need for us to teach that because so many people are teaching it right now. I think the bigger issues that people aren't talking about. So we do at ATDC, we have a program that kind of forces you to go out and talk to people.
It's called
Startup Gauntlet, right? And so you're pretty much forced to go out and talk to 10 people.
Pretty much kicking you to the curb.
Yeah. You know, my goal with Startup Chicks is not to replicate what other people have done, but to hopefully find it's a discovery engine. We go out and we discover the women that are doing cool things and try and bring them into the community at large because for some reason, you know, they're not finding our community.
Definitely. Well, I love that, too. Also, just having that community for women to be able to talk and create things on their own. Because it's so much harder for women in business, really, just to break in. And there's so many more red tape around that.
I don't know that it's that much harder. In some ways, I think, especially now, if you're a woman growing a fundable, scalable startup or planning to, I know I can get you in the door at an investor.
Okay.
Okay? Because they want to. They see there's a discrepancy in the number of people that are getting funded that are female, and they honestly want to do something about that. Now, I can't close the deal for you. You have to close the deal, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to educate women on how to communicate to investors in a different way than they're typically communicating. And I think as we do that, we'll see more women get funded. But I know as a woman, I can get a meeting with anybody in town right now.
Yeah.
Right. Or I can get most of my women to have a meeting with anybody in town by making a connection for them because people really want to help kind of level the playing field.
Well, Well, you must have really loved there with over at TICOM with TYE program. The majority of people in that, they were girls, and
yes.
They had great ideas. Some of these kids, man, they were smarter than me. I was throwing them. We were throwing them curveball questions. They could answer them, and they actually have products that are willing to almost. They're ready to roll out right now.
Yeah. So I was involved with TYE probably for the last 3 years as a mentor, and it's an amazing program. I'm hugely supportive of it, and I love it. It's always been close to 50-50, but this year was a little bit probably more female-based or a little few more women in it than or young women in it than men, and I just love that. So.
Yeah, so the description here, the TYE Atlanta winner, providing an alternative eco-friendly bioremediation technique to efficiently lower the acidity of soil.
It was really cool. It's like a bacteria. And it's like, I would never have thought about that at all. They were just, they were great.
I couldn't spell a third of those words.
How do the kids come up with that, right?
Exactly. Well, they surprise. They can think outside the box. They haven't been put into the conventional norms or been beaten down yet. So they think crazy stuff. I think the winners the prior year before, they came up with a way for soldiers to heat their food that wouldn't emit any kind of...
Right.
Light or anything for that. That was really cool too. Well, Dave, tell us a little bit about Silver Pop for people who don't know. And I mean, I know a lot of people that are looking for jobs out there. Whenever you look at email marketing, it says you need to know Silver Pop. That's what it says on the job thing. So tell us a little bit about Silver Pop for people that don't know.
Yeah, so we are definitely have been very, very active in the recruiting world in the last couple of years. So yeah, we're in the marketing tech space. So one of the groups in Atlanta that's in that space, all kinds of other folks in the industry here. We're kind of big. We typically sell to companies that have a marketing department.
Okay.
So we're, you know, kind of high mid-market, low enterprise. We have a lot of really big customers, but we're a pure play SaaS platform, right? So 90%+ of our customers pay us on an annual subscription and they use it themselves. In some cases they have, you know, in the majority of cases, there are people inside their company who actually operate the platform. Some folks use our agency partners to help them through that, but we're kind of on the top side scale-wise. So.
Well, definitely. I mean, you're really growing. It's a growing market, and you guys are one of the top people, right?
Yeah, it's funny. The market has been in a lot of transition in the last 18 months. So
definitely,
I've been in the marketing tech space for. Oh, probably 10 or 15 years. So
you've seen it do a complete 180 and then 180 again.
Yeah, it's kind of all I've ever done. It actually did a zero for about 12 years, right? So if you wanted an email platform or a marketing automation platform, you would write up all your specs, and there were about, you know, four or five players in each market, and you'd pick the one that was best for you. Going back probably 18 months, things got pretty aggressive, right? So we had the big first domino of M&A fell, and now it's a foot race to all this whole new world. So,
well, definitely. There's the foot race to all the stuff that's out now, and then it seems like every week there's some new technology someone's putting up and trying something, so you have to keep evolving to that.
There is, and, you know, clearly marketing has become hundreds of percent more social in the last two or three years. So, you know, every marketer in the world struggles to figure out what's their kind of special sauce and what's the two or three networks they should be focused on, right? If you're an e-commerce retailer and you're not spending extra money and time now on product shots that are kind of Pinterest ready, you're probably missing some opportunities. Or if you're if you're in the recruiting space and you're not just all over LinkedIn and focused completely on that, then, you've probably got some things you want to change over the next couple of years.
Well, and it's interesting too, but there's companies popping up that are just, they use Silver Pop and then they're using that, and the other companies are paying them to use Silver Pop and connect them to all the right people and do all that stuff. So
yeah, I mean, it's fully,
it's a wild west.
You know, marketing, we're all kind of customers and users of all the same things, right? So I spend the majority of my time in essence mentoring digital marketers in our customer base. So, you know, we debate about what's the cost per acquisition in, you know, your online channel, and how do you convert that to lifetime value, and, you know, everything you can imagine under the sun now. Marketing is now signing up for revenue. Right? So the days of saying, hey, we just make everybody feel good and send it all out, and, you know, it's all about awareness. we're really kind of past that point where it's, you know, marketing now says, hey, I'm going to sign up for a campaign that's going to convert at 12% more than it did last year. And in order for me to do that, I'm going to need 17% more budget from finance. So.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point there is that it's so analytics based now. It's you can there's so many different data points out there that people can grab and use that it's becoming more of a calculation than right the feel good thing that people went with before.
It is. There's a lot of I have a conversation a lot. There's a lot of technology of marketing that popped up over the last say 36 months that allows us to focus really really clearly. Right, so I can drill out a very specific set of people. I can understand where they are in the cycle and all that. What that technology doesn't do is the kind of what I call the art of marketing, right? So really great offer management, understanding kind of the psychology of the person who wants to buy something from us, right? A marketer who can stop saying, hey, I've got these five things to sell. Which one of these five things do you want to
buy? From me.
Right. It's more of a conversation of, okay, if I can figure out how to get in your head and turn it around, then I can do great offers. And, you know, that really is becoming the norm.
Well, yeah, it's the norm now. It's, hey, I can solve a problem that you have, and I can help make you money, and I understand your business, and I actually care about you being successful, not just buy these things from me.
Right.
So you mentioned earlier that you're doing a lot of mentoring and stuff. What's really your role in Tie, and how did you really take that over to Tycon?
Yeah, so I've been involved with Tie. I mean, I go back to – it was great to actually hear Jen talk about Startup Chicks. I was in the Startup Atlanta scene for
four or five years.
Yeah. And the last time I had a meaningful update, it was a lot later wait and, you know, had a lot less going than it does now. So I've been involved in, I guess, with the Tie guys for probably 5 or 6 years. So when Raj was president.
Okay.
And then Raj wasn't president for a year, and then Raj came back as president.
He came back, now we got Karen, so right? She's a ball of fire. I love Karen. So.
Yeah, I actually met her at TieCon for the first time, so... you know, I've known Ashish and Anand.
KP
and
Ready
all the
now
guys,
is with ACDC.
KP and all those guys.
ATDC.
Yeah, so I've known kind of the group for a while, and then Anand kind of tapped me and was like, hey, you know, there's this thing with the up-and-coming entrepreneurs, and we've got MK and a bunch of other folks kind of off in this room, and, you know, you're kind of that dude who's always focused on business models. And, you know, when I was in the startup world, I was kind of the ops side. So I was the guy that throttled out business model and cost and
the people
resources.
Everyone loved. You were like, all right, they had the ideas. And you're like, all right, help me form this into something that I can sell.
Yeah, we did some of that. And we did some of our own right up out of the ground. So,
perfect.
You know, I've seen a few business models in my day. So.
All right. Well, what were you guys' favorite parts about Tycon this year? I mean, the fireside chat with Alan DeBerry was huge, but what do you guys really take away from it, and just for all listeners that didn't go to Tycon?
Well, I really enjoyed the lunchtime keynote. I loved hearing the stories of CardioMEMS and PIN something. It was company Pay.
CardioMEMS is
amazing.
CardioMEMS, Paymetrics, and then also for the new Metro Chamber president. About, you know, especially near the end when they started talking about why they're in Atlanta, right? For me, being a community member and just watching the community change over the last 6 or 7 years and seeing how strong it's become and seeing, you know, both people that are leading great companies in the city of Atlanta, the chamber recognize what's going on in the startup community. And then also, you know, we've seen a lot of investment come in, especially with the ATDC companies from outside of Atlanta. And they're recognizing that businesses can start here and grow here and stay here and be hugely successful on that. Hearing that resonate from people other than myself and the people that I work with every day was awesome.
Yeah, because it seemed like an uphill battle when you probably first started doing it, and now it's happening. I mean, we have such good institutions like Georgia Tech is huge. We put out so many great minds from there. Then they all ended up going to San Francisco or California to go do their companies, and now people are actually staying here.
Right.
That's huge.
We're creating jobs to let them stay here to do cool stuff.
Definitely.
I think for me, and one of the biggest things that I like about kind of what Tie does is there's that second level, right? So, I mean, we all know, you know, the stories from Alan and, you know, all those guys and Jeff about, you know, how you reverse go buy out a 100 and, you know, 200-year-old institution. But you never kind of hear the full depth level, right? You don't hear Alan sit there and go, you know, here's what it was like to try to figure out how to move.
And it
from,
didn't work, like, at first.
Yeah, I mean, I knew AirWatch guys in, I don't know, the early 90s, right? I mean, some form of that company has been around the scene for a really long time. And to watch how that kind of rolled up and
how they pivoted over
and how they got moved around, and they were, you know, they were mobile marketing 15 years ago, and now it becomes this whole other thing. To just for me to hear the backstory and to hear the scalability story behind the people was really cool. And that came out at the lunch thing too. Right.
Well, I really think that's the great thing about Tide too, is like these are really they're very inexpensive events. Anyone that wants to be an entrepreneur, you can learn so much at these things. They have these programs. I just went through the TIEX program, and they've partnered up with ATDC, and that was a huge experience for me. I mean, it's just the way they're doing things, and they're trying to really breed more entrepreneurs here in Atlanta. It's just huge how much they're giving back.
And it's the number of mentors that they have is phenomenal, and their engagement.
And the level of these mentors. Right? These are people really that have $100 million companies they've exited from, and then they want to give their time to people like me who just have ideas. So
yeah, so their mentorship program is really, really strong and really active, and nothing compares to it here Definitely. In Atlanta. So.
Well, Jen, can you go in a little bit about your Tide backstory and how long you've been with Tide? I mean, you do everything in every basically startup nook and cranny of Atlanta, but how long have you been with Tide?
Well, so first, about doing everything in every startup, like nook and cranny in Atlanta. That's my job at this point, right? So when I started Startup Chicks, I had a startup on the side. I sold that in 2012. And around that same time, I was blessed that ATDC recognized what I was doing for the community and offered me a job. So at this point, my job is to be a community builder. So my job is to go to events. I get a little discouraged sometimes when I see the same entrepreneur over and over again at the same events, because that means they're not doing their job.
Yeah. Age up.
Right? Go do some work. I should only see you at one event a week. So it's tough. I've known about Ty for probably, gosh, 10 years, right? Probably right around when I first started. I left Atlanta for a short period of time and came back about 7 years ago, and got engaged with the community. It was right before I started Startup Chicks, I went to my first startup weekend, got engaged with the community, and it's kind of how Startup Chicks kind of snowballed. Startup Chicks has had a great relationship with Ty probably for the last 4 or 5 years. Mm. We've partnered together. We probably do 2 events together a year. Where we try and bring our audiences together and really promote women entrepreneurship. And, you know, I try and get involved and see what I can do to help in any way that I can help them, because I'm a huge supporter. In addition, you know, we now have a really strong link in that Karen Robinson Cope has been on my advisory board since the inception of Startup Chicks. So she's been through everything with me from the get-go as an advisor for Startup Chicks, and with her as president of Tide right now, there's a really strong bond between the two organizations.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point, too, that all these organizations are finally, like, they're latching on, and you have people that are part of multiple ones. I mean, you have KP Ready now. He's top of ATDC, and he's also been with Tide for quite a while, and they're doing great stuff. You mentioned earlier about seeing the same entrepreneurs. What you guys are doing over at ATDC with, like, the Gauntlet program is you're making people put their money where their mouth is, where it's great and it's a lot of fun, and we all love to do it, to go out and talk to all your friends or your other entrepreneurs and be like, oh, I have this great idea, and they're like, oh, that's so cool, and you just get to talk about it. It's like when you buy a lottery ticket. I always like to say, you buy that lottery ticket and you start thinking, well, when I win the lottery, I'm going to buy this and that, and that's great, and you enjoy doing that, but you guys make them go out there and start working for it. You make them form a hypothesis, and you want them to disprove that and really get their problem just very concrete, and the foundation very concrete, so they don't have to, if they really do go start the company, they're avoiding a lot of scar tissue and avoiding some of those pivots.
Sure. We, about 2.5 years ago, we launched an education series, and it starts with a customer discovery class, you know, and it ends with an investor readiness class, and it talks about everything in between, about sales, HR, creating culture, financial literacy, how do you tell your story, just all these different components. And what I found was, and one of the reasons Gauntlet's been so successful is I think people were thinking that going to the classes was actually working on their business. Right. They were checking it off. I went to the financial literacy class, so I'm moving forward, right? But they weren't moving forward. They were taking the classes and thinking that that was doing it. Or they're going to events and they're thinking that that is working on their business. Well, it could be. If your target customer is startup founders, maybe you are working. You know, I shouldn't give you a hard time. But most of you are not, you know, most of them are not selling to startup founders, so they're not actually talking to their customers. So, you know, last year when we introduced Gauntlet, we now have a way to actually, you know, help hold them accountable for taking the necessary action to be successful in determining whether or not there truly is a market for what they're doing.
And it makes people realize if they actually want to be an entrepreneur, because it sounds glamorous and cool when you go to all these events and you hear, but it's so much work. I mean, I went through the process of, I interviewed over 100 different people and I had to go to different restaurant owners, set up different things, and I kept having to pivot on my, it's a lot of work to do. And these people are just, they look at it as a glamorized lifestyle. Yep. So.
I think probably one of the clearest benefits of a program like that is it accelerates a little bit of that pain.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? So it comes up front. It, you know, breaks down any misconceptions about what a cake gig it is and, you know, how I see it on TV and what it was like in, you know, the movies and all that kind of stuff. It's saying, hey, you know, throwing $100 bills in your dorm room.
Yeah,
that's not the genesis of anything that makes a scalable business. So, you know, I love it. And having been in the scene and built a few startups before that existed, right? I mean, I've had many, you know, hour-long debates with Dr. McGregor at a coffee shop, you know, before he was preaching the Steve Blank lean startup gospel, right? He and I would debate go-to-market strategies. And, you know, that was the only way you could do it.
Yeah.
It was if you knew somebody that you felt like fit in there or had done it before. You know, I did the same thing with a couple of the Thai folks, right? But that was not a scalable thing. It was not something that kind of grew the community as a function. It was, hey, if you can get in there and meet all these people, and, you know, that's why five years ago we went to things like Thai and ATDC, you would do it more on a networking side. But today it's actually programized, which is a really powerful thing.
You guys were forward thinking in that aspect, so it's easier for people. It's a lot easier to get into that community nowadays, really, in the startup community, which is huge.
Right.
So what's next for you guys? What are you guys going to be doing with your companies? What's next for Startup Chick, ATDC, all the other communities that you're part of?
Right. So I ran a startup weekend this weekend. So it's a 54-hour hackathon. We run them three times a year. This was the first time this year. We'll run one in September. That's a maker event. And we'll run one in November. That's part of Global Entrepreneurship Week. And so right now I'm going to go home and sleep.
Okay, definitely.
I've worked 36 hours in the last 3 days. So I'm a little tired. After that, you know, what we're kind of, I mentioned a little bit with Startup Chicks in particular. I'm focused on how can I help women across Atlanta right now that we're not reaching today, and can we build these circles, or what I'm calling circles or mastermind groups, and put in place, you know, some kind of rules of engagement and how you do it, and find local organizers and build that out. And then if that works here, then we'll take it to the other cities that we're at. Right now, we have about a 30-city waiting list for Startup Chicks, and I'm just trying to get.
It's not a bad thing to have. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I'm trying to get everything. I want to make sure that everything's working properly in the cities that we have before we roll it out to a lot more cities, because all of a sudden it will become very unmanageable. So
I would be scared of your inbox with 30 cities.
It's a little crazy, yes. My inbox is insane. So if I don't get back to you within 48 hours, please email me again. Note to all. You know, at ATDC, we're in a kind of similar stage. Like, we're looking at, I'm in charge of the education program and the mentors, so I'm always looking for new mentors that understand the customer discovery process. I'm looking at what's next with the education, right? So we've got these 7 repeating classes. Can we go deeper? Should we go specific into industries? Can we create maybe a certification process? Can we teach, our mission is to help technology startups across the state of Georgia. Can I build mentor pools in other cities across the state of Georgia that we teach this process, customer discovery, lean startup, and how to run a gauntlet so that we can help more entrepreneurs in other cities? I'm spending some of my time in Savannah working with entrepreneurs there. Can I build a mentor pool there and Augusta and Athens and Columbus and Rome? And can we then really share this message across the state and truly help entrepreneurs across the state? That's kind of my my passion and where I'm at.
Where I can see that going is it's just going to, once you start it rolling, it's going to be organically just coming up, and people are going to step up to the plate, and these groups are going to form with Startup Chicks. You're going to have those circles form, and also with ATDC, I can just already see that.
So hopeful.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I didn't work that hard this weekend, technically, but we actually last week had our big annual customer conference in the U.S. So we had about 850 of our customers in, and we took over the Marriott Marquis for 3 days. And we come in, and it's a super hands-on teaching thing. There are sessions throughout the whole kind of span, so that's always a fun one for us. We usually put on a really good concert midweek, so we put American Authors at the Fox Theater.
Very cool.
Wednesday night, I guess. So we heard a few of the hits I hear on the radio. So that's good for me. That's the perfect world, because all my customers come to me, which is the coolest thing ever, because most of the time I have to go to them. So
definitely,
my travel schedule is borderline.
You're done
insane.
With traveling, right?
No, I love it. All
your friends are like, "Man, you get to travel all the time. That's so cool. I wish I could do that." And you're like, "Well, yeah, it sounds cool."
Yeah, it's a grass is greener on the other side all day long. So I start up again. We do prospect events for customers in, I think we're doing 18 or 19 cities this year. So next 4 weeks, I've got DC, Dallas, and Dubai.
Wow.
So, and then we run headlong into our customer conference in Europe, and just
keep on trucking.
Keeps on hammering. Yeah, it's a really interesting time for marketing technology.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being on. Can I get some contact information for your company and all your companies, definitely?
I'll start. Jen Bonet. The websites are startupchicks.org and atdc.org, and it's pretty easy. Both emails are just Jen, J-E-N, at startupchicks.org or Jen at atdc.org.
Okay, perfect.
Cool. And silverpop.com, and the email is dwalters at.
All right. And thank you for Ty. The Ty website is atlanta.ty.org. Check them out for any of their new events. You just missed the TyCon Southeast, which is huge. I think the big Ty out in California is happening soon, right?
It's coming up, because the winners from our, especially Thai Young Entrepreneurs group, go to there. Feed into a big finale there.
We interviewed a lot of them at TyCon, and hopefully to get some of them back here, because they're just, I love talking to them. They're so great. Well, thank you guys so much for being on.
Thank you.
All right, this is Kevin Finn for our guest today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Business Radio.